Amen. With your hands lifted, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to minister grace unto us. The Word of God comes to us. We have the principle of God's Word, the revelation of God's Word, then the fire of God's Word. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not your word like fire?" Jeremiah 20:9 also said, "Thy word was like fire shut in my bones, and I could not forbear." You want to ask God to release the fire of His word, the fire of His word, to bring us clarity, understanding, to stir in us a new mentality and outlook. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are opened in humility to receive fresh rhematos, provocative insight, revelation to bring us to the place of rest. Spirit of God, we submit ourselves before Thee. We submit our hearts to Your mending and grooming. We submit our minds to Your transformation and renewal process. Help us to grow in the knowledge of God. Grant us access to deep insight. Empower our hearts and our minds, our spirits, to be receptive to Your flow. Bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. It's good to be back home. I'm excited to be home. I look forward to this day, and I've prayed for this day. I woke up quite early just to catch my flight to be here. Praise the Lord. Clap those hands. Let's salute the warrior. In fact, I want us to stand to our feet. Can you give me some volume? I'm from Africa. We love to shout. Amen. I want us to salute God's general, our warrior, our pastor, our leader, the father of this house, Prophet Dr. Dante Berry. Clap those hands. And also our executive pastor, the woman of God. She's shining. I love her worship. Prophetess Jessica Berry. Clap those hands. Amen. And to all the leaders, to everyone here, I'm excited to see you all. Praise the Lord. You all are looking beautiful. God bless you. Amen. Be seated in God's presence. Faith, is good to see you. Praise the living God. And to our friends and loved ones who have tuned in across the nations of the world, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. The Lord placed in my spirit a word to share with you tonight. I have been brooding and pondering exclusively over this word for the last 4 weeks. It's been bubbling in my spirit. The Bible declares in Mark 4:11, Jesus said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of this world." So the kingdom of God is shielded and shrouded in mysteries. Somebody say mysteries. Mystery. What is mystery? Mystery is the secret of God. The secret of God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret thing belongs to God. The secret thing belongs to God. So God has secrets. Look at someone and say, God has secrets. Psalm 25 verse 14 says that, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, for he shall show him his secret. He shall show him what? His secret. In the book of Job, the Bible declares, and the secret of the Lord was upon thy tabernacle. So if the kingdom of God is shielded and shrouded, secreted and ventilated in secrets. Praise the Lord. And one of the formidable forces in the kingdom, one of the secret of God, is what I'm going to share with you tonight. If you're excited, clap those hands unto God. Amen. We see the Edenic war, the Edenic fall, the Edenic iniquity. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. I feel like Pastor Dante using his microphone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Romans 8:32. Because God loved us, he spared not his son. He spared not Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, is it 1 Corinthians 5:21, says that, and Jesus became our sin. So he took upon himself the nature of man. And now the Bible says, for sin shall have no dominion over man. Romans 6:14, praise the Lord. For sin shall have no dominion over man. So now, what is that secret? God sent Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. You see that before Jesus was sent, he had to become a curse. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. For it is written, curse is the man, Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that is hanging on the tree. So he became my curse, that I through Christ will receive the blessings of Abraham. Number two, he became my sin. Is it 1 Corinthians 5:21? Find it for me. I think I'm going too fast. Oh, I'm good? All right. 21. 5:21. Quickly. He became my sin. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 21. This is verse 2. Receive the grace to run with me. So he became my sin. Look at someone say, he became my sin.
He became my sin.
Yes, Christ became my sin. He became my curse as well. What did God do for humanity? What did God do for humanity? And it's one of the forces in the kingdom. And before we're coming to church, I was speaking to my church secretary. And I began to share some of the secrets with her in the conversation. And this will help families. Praise the Lord. It will help your personal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It will help your walk as a Christian. You'll be free from toxic emotions. Praise the Lord. Now, for the last 25 years, research has come out that most cases of depression, most cases that are cancer cases, internalized damage through blood, through nerve, is as a result of bitterness and unforgiveness. Praise the Lord. Scientifically, Faith, it has been exclusively, he made him to have no sin, to be a sin for us. Amen? Scientifically, it has been proven that a lot of health challenges is as a result of the poison of unforgiveness, bitterness. The Bible declares that for bitterness defiles your soul. So I'm preaching to myself. Because I'm a wounded lion. I'm preaching to you as well. And we are sharing the love and the knowledge of God. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So tonight I will be speaking to you on what I've entitled The Mystery and the Mastery of Forgiveness. The Mystery and the Mastery of Forgiveness. That is, our objective is to understand and underscore overcoming the worms. The worms and the whips of unforgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18 verse 7. Matthew chapter 18 verse 7. The Bible declares, woe unto the world because offenses. Now watch the scripture. Jesus is speaking. For it must need be that offenses come. Offenses will come. It's a necessity. But he said, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. In Mark 11, 25, Jesus is teaching about prayer. And he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying. So how many of us prayed and our answers never came? He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have any ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, forgive. Father, speak to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So now, by way of introduction, there are two basic things I want to say to you in this message as we proceed. Two basic things. Number one, as long as you are in this world, offenses must come. Now learn this from me, from a young preacher for the last 26 years. I'm sharing my experiential knowledge with you. Number two, I'm sharing the wisdom of God with you. And number three, I'm sharing a revelation of liberation. Let's say a revelation of liberation. This will be your personal tool as a believer, as a walk. Your personal armory, ammunition, ammo that you are going to use for your life, your personal life. Understand fundamentally, per scripture in Matthew 18:7. As long as you are in the world, offenses will come. Jesus said, it must need be that offenses come. It's a necessity. Now, Jesus now is saying, it's something you cannot do away with it. Jesus is saying, you have no control over it. He says that no matter how spiritual, how prayerful you are, you are going to encounter and experience offenses. Jesus now is saying, literally, you'll be hurt. Jesus is now is saying that it doesn't matter how beautiful you are, so long as there is blood flowing in your bloodstreams, so long as you have a humanistic proclivity, offenses will come. Praise the Lord. Now he says that the only person that won't be offended and is not offended is that person in the mortuary. Oh yes, because he's dead. He has no emotions, there's nothing flowing through him. Am I teaching here tonight? The person in the grave, by translation of this scripture, is the one who will not be offended. So it has been said by intellectual minds, by philosophical activists, and by professionals who have studied life that to err is human. Mistakes in life are inevitable. Praise the Lord. I said mistakes in life are what? To be an offender is part of humanity. Nobody wakes up with the intentionality of offense. Praise the Lord. Genetically, every human being is a great person. In our inherent disposition, every child of God is a good person. But it is part of humanity to err, to make mistakes. It is part of humanity to step on the toe of a brother. The only person who will never wrong you is the one in the grave. Praise the living God. So human beings must permanently and will permanently err and offend. Look at someone and say, I will definitely hurt your feelings sometime. Definitely. Praise the Lord. So now, if you don't have the spirit of forgiveness, you can't marry. Praise the Lord. Marriage is not for boys. Marriage is not for girls. Marriage is for men and women who are mature to understand that your spouse will hurt you. Your spouse will step on your toe. Your spouse will terribly make you cry. I thought you loved me. I didn't know you were going. You'll be miserable. Jesus said, offenses must come. Oh, I love Wesley Chapel. I love it here. Zephyr Hills. So the first thing to note is that as long as you are in the world, offenses will come. Praise the living God. Now, number two, understand that offense is a satanic trap. Offense is a satanic trap for destruction and damnation. Offense is a satanic trap for destruction and damnation. Offenses are compulsory to humanity. However, the devil uses offenses to cause destruction and damnation. So Jesus is saying, when you stand to pray, before you petition heaven, before you summon heaven, before you appeal to the integrity of God, before you ask for God's mercies, be merciful. He says that you are not entitled to receive answers of prayer until you have let go. So he says, when you stand to pray, forgive. He says that if you don't release your offender, then God is not under compulsion to forgive your own sins. Jesus is saying, the reason why the heaven is blocked over you is because your heart is blocked over others. He says that your heavens are closed because your heart is closed over your brother. So now, when you stand to pray, forgive. And he says that if you remember that your brother has hurt you, go back and make peace before you come back to pray. Otherwise, your Father in heaven has nothing to do with you. Am I teaching in the house? Look at someone and say, I forgive you. So, I want to show you 7 negative consequences of offenses. 7 negative consequences of offenses. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Number one. Iniquities remain unforgiven where there is unforgiveness. Mark 11, 25. Can you repeat after me? Yes. Say, my iniquity remains unforgiven where there is unforgiveness in my heart. In Mark 11, 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You your trespasses. The meaning of this is, until you are forgiven the offender, you have not been forgiven your offenses. Do you hear what I said? Until you are forgiven the one who offended you, you will not be forgiven of your own idiosyncratic, exclusive, personal flaws, errors, mistakes, sins, transgression, and iniquities. Jesus said, let me make it simple for you. You want forgiveness from God? Forgive your brother. He says that the automatic forgiveness happens when you release the one who offended you from your heart. Iniquity remains unforgiven where there is unforgiveness. So whatever makes you to hold the sins of people against them, it makes God to hold your own sin against you. Can I teach tonight? God says, whatever makes you to tie people on the ground, exactly, God will tie you to the ground. Whatever makes you judgmental over your brother, over your sister, God is saying, I will also be judgmental towards you. But he says that if you are merciful, if you are benevolent, if you are kind, if you are generous, if you are sympathetic, if you are empathetic, I, the Lord, the same manner, the same emotions you show your brother, I will show the same emotion. Iniquity remains unforgiven where there is unforgiveness. Number two, access to God in prayer is hindered by unforgiveness. Access to God in prayer is hindered by unforgiveness. He said, when you stand praying, Mark 11:25. Stephanie, when you stand praying, forgive. He didn't say when you start preaching. When you start praying, what is prayer? Conversation. Divine intimacy with God. Prayer is heaven, divinity, rubbing its head with humanity. Prayer is the link between the creator and the created. Prayer means our relationship with God. Through weddings, prayer means talking to God. Now he said, when you stand to talk to your husband, when you stand to talk to your wife, forgive. Forgive. When you stand to talk to your creator as a created being, as a creature, forgive. Otherwise, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your own trespasses. Your Father in heaven. In other words, your access to God is blocked by unforgiveness. You are not under demonic torment. You are not under witchcraft. But you are blocked by unforgiveness. Oh my goodness. It's not that someone is bewitching you, someone is after you. It's not that you are under a curse, but you have put what we call self-imposed impediment. You are your own hindrance. You are your own obstacle. You are your own pain. Access to God is hindered in prayer. There are many people who are asking God, why is it that God is not hearing me? Why I've been coming to church and other people have been receiving their testimonies, but with me, absolutely nothing. He says, I have received prophetic words from the Papa, from the G Papa, from the GG Papa, and still there is no manifestation. Well, take a real look into your heart and do an x-ray of your life. There's an unforgiveness somewhere. There's an unforgiveness. He said, I cried to God and he doesn't hear me. The question tonight is that, is there somebody who has been locked up in your heart? Maybe you are watching over the internet. God is speaking to you tonight. Is there somebody you haven't been able to forgive? It is possible that that could be the reason why God has not heard your prayer. It is possible. Or even heard someone's prayer for you. Now, unforgiveness is not only a self-imposed hindrance, it also blocks someone's prayer for you. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I think I should repeat that. I said unforgiveness is not a self-imposed obstacle. It also blocks someone's prayer for you. So now, my prayer to God is not answered. The prayer Pastor Dante is praying for me is also blocked. So unforgiveness is an obstacle within and without. Access to God in prayer is hindered. He will not hear my prayer or the prayer of any man because of the same unforgiveness. Number three, the activity of tormentors are invited by the action of unforgiveness. Now hear this, is a mystery in the kingdom. Unforgiveness is a mystery in the kingdom. That's why God himself could not be tied down by unforgiveness. He spared not his son. Romans 8:32. He will spare not his son. He gave him up to forgive us. Romans 8:32. He will spare not his son. Too much love. Too much love. He that walketh in love. He that walketh in love dwelleth in God. Watch me. And God dwelleth in him. 1 John 4:16. He that walketh in love. Pastor Dante, dwelleth in love. And God dwelleth in him. So if you're a child of God and you are filled with bitterness and there's no love in your heart, everything about you reveals that God is not in you. Wow. Bring me the scripture. For we have known and believed that God has for us the love that God has. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And God in him. Until you understand the length and breadth of the love of God, that he did not spare his son because of my sin. So if he did not spare, he said we have to be what? Rooted and what? And grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. We have to be rooted and grounded in love. Until the presence of love, watch this, the presence of love is the easy activation of forgiveness. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said the presence of love is the easy activation of what? That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, the activity of the tormentors are invited by the action of unforgiveness. Tormentors are invited by the action of unforgiveness. Look at Matthew 18:34-35. And Jesus is speaking in a parabolic manner. And he said, And his Lord was wrath and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Why? 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 So my help, go to Matthew 18, 34 to 35. John 2. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay that all that was due to him. Look at verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. What is the action of tormentors? Now we see this young man who owed a debt. Filthy. Owed a debt. Disgusted. Owed a debt. Sinful. And his master forgave him. The moment he left, he went to somebody who owed him less than he owed his master. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill him. And so the master came and said, really? Are you kidding me? I forgave you your iniquity. You cannot forgive your little one something as tiny as this. They said, I'll release the tormentors. So Jesus said, if we don't forgive, there are tormentors that will torment us. Go to the King James Version. Verse 34. So unforgiveness invites the activity of demonic tormentors. And his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors. Demonic tormentors. Unforgiveness activates the activity of the tormentors. There are afflictions and infirmities which are invited by demonic tormentors because of unforgiveness. Every time you keep people in your heart, you are inviting a demonic spirit to begin to torment one part of your body, one part of your life. Unforgiveness. There are many sicknesses that can never be healed because of unforgiveness. It doesn't matter how anointed the man of God is. This microphone will make me preach. I don't want to preach, I want to teach. So help me with that. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how anointed the man of God is. If he lays hands on you, as anointed the man of God is, and there is unforgiveness in your heart, that sickness can never be healed. So unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So I'm showing you the mysteries of the kingdom. The secret things belongs to God. Praise the Lord. There are many sicknesses that can be healed also without prayer. If people will forgive their brothers and their sisters. If people will walk in forgiveness. Pastor Dante, come and change the battery. If people will walk in forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Number four, access to grace is hindered. Access to what?
Grace.
Is what?
Hindered.
It's hindered. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Thereby many will be defiled. Praise the living God. So, by this scripture, you will discover that the grace of God is enough. The grace of of what? It says that looking diligence, lest any man fail. semicolon talks about the product, the effect, the causal factor. Praise the Lord. So you see, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby be defiled. So now, what Paul is saying is that you will be cut short of grace by virtue of the root of bitterness. This bitterness will defile you spiritually and physically. Where there is no grace, all you have is disgrace. So people are disconnected, isolated, alienated by virtue of not prayerlessness, not because they went into robbery, theft, adultery, drinking, alcoholism, they went into witchcraft, but you are caught short of grace by virtue of bitterness. What a mystery in the kingdom. That God took his grace for him, and the Spirit of God left Saul. Another spirit came upon Saul. Samson woke up and God was not there, for God had left. That God left you not because you fell into some buoyant sin, but because there is a root. What is a root? You will never see a root, but you only see the fruit. So there is a hidden bitterness in you. Hidden, no eyes will see it. Oh, I love you so much. Oh my God, I'm so excited to see you. But you are in pain. You will smile, but the heart is bitter. Oh, I love you with the love of God. Oh my God, I'm so excited. But your heart is bitter. You fake it in the society, but your heart is bitter. God says the root of bitterness is defilement to your spirit. And he says that it cuts you off his grace. Child of God, this is a mystery in life. So every day we have to trust God that God will deliver us from pollutants. Say pollutants. Life is reduced to struggles because of unforgiveness. Grace is a reason for our ease. And if grace is lifted, all that is left is grass. Praise the Lord. The grace of God is the grease of life. And if grace is lifted, then struggles are established. There are many believers gifted but not lifted because grace is lifted. There are many children of God gifted and not lifted because there is a hidden pollutant called unforgiveness. Child of God, I'm a pastor with so much experiences. In my young age, as a young preacher, for the last 26 years, I have seen a lot. We drove about 15, 20 minutes to be here. I was having a conversation. Pastor Dante was here in the conversation with my secretary. I'm sure that was a full sermon in the car. I said to Pastor Dante, every man of God, when they remove your cassock, when they remove your robe, there are scars all over your body. Scars all over your body. Pastoralship is not for boys. You will go through a lot in ministry. Some your own mistakes, some your vulnerability, some attacks. If you don't have the largeness of heart, you cannot be a pastor. There are many men of God, 40% of pastors in the world globally fall into depression and they resign. Because if you are not truly called to be at this pulpit, you cannot be a shepherd. The only job that you learn on the job is pastoral work. Nobody was a pastor, a better pastor before, so now I'm pastoring. No, you learn on the job. God trains you on the job. So ladies and gentlemen, there are many wounded men of God. And it takes God's grace to sustain you. So if that grace is lifted and shifted because of unforgiveness, there are people who have held other people in their hearts for over 20 years, 15 years, 10 years. There are people who have sworn, I will never talk to you again. How much more God, if God decides, I will not talk to you again. My goodness, what would I do? If God decides for 24 hours, I will take my mercy from you. He says, I withdraw my mercy from you for 1 hour. Life will be in decadence. I came to encourage you, hold no man in your heart. There are many preachers who are not Christians. There are many preachers who are not believers. Because we only preach. But I want you to be a Christian. Look at me and say, be a Christian. Practice forgiveness. Otherwise, no grace for your life. No grace for your life. It is not worth it to hold anybody in your heart. Understand that any mistake someone does, you can do even worse. It's God's grace that keeps us going. We are not juries. Praise the Lord. We are victims of His grace. So let's be merciful. Let's learn to let go. Because we are human. Your ability to let go reveals your maturity in God. And it comes by understanding. Spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. Spiritual understanding. Spiritual growth. Praise the Lord. Say spiritual understanding. For this call, we also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Paul said, let the word of God dwell richly in you. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell. So when you are filled with the word, it grants you access to understanding. And when you understand better, your undertakings are better. When you understand better, your undertakings are brighter. Praise the Lord. Are you being blessed tonight? Grace is hindered when unforgiveness is there. Now you see, when grace is hindered, everything you do is by your strength, energy, and your efforts. And nothing seems to work. You are forceful, but no impact. God is saying, if you can fight it by yourself, then do all other things by yourself. But I see mercy coming to us tonight. Amen. The one whose amen is louder is the one to receive it. Amen. Number 5, bitterness or unforgiveness is a poison that troubles the system of man. Bitterness and unforgiveness. It's a poison that troubles the system of man. I want you to pay attention and hear this. Apart from inviting tormentors, unforgiveness and bitterness on its own troubles your physical system. It troubles your physical system. Even if the devil was not invited by itself, you have invited that trouble in your own system. There is a correlation of several afflictions biologically that are the root cause springing from unforgiveness. Deep-seated unforgiveness. Deep-rooted bitterness. Aching in your heart. Aching in your soul. Aching in your spirit. Number 1, it creates ulcers. Number 2, it creates migraines. Holding on to someone in your heart. You shrink. Your colons, your large intestines, your small intestines, you put pressure on them. Your blood flows. You begin to clot. Unforgiveness is a satanic trap. Number three, hypertension. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Number four, arthritis because of the blood clottings. Arthritis. Number five is neurotic symptoms. And now, the sixth is the deadliest one. Cancers. Cancers. Apart from cancer being hereditary, 79% of cancers in America has its root cause in bitterness. Hurting women. Hurting men. When we were kids growing up, we thought cancers were for old age people. Right. Now young men and young women in their 20s, in their 30s are cancerous because of heartbreak, because of dissolution of marriages, because of painful experiences, hurting, continuous bitterness. You go to bed in pain, you wake up in pain. So now you are shrinking your internal organs. You put pressure on your internal organs. You go to bed bitter, you wake up bitter. You go to bed polluted, you wake up a pollutant. Ladies and gentlemen, you are harming yourself than the person who is the offender. When you are offended, you harm yourself more than the offender. Look at someone and say, let go. It is not worth it. Oh, look at someone and say, it's not worth it. Let go. So all these, they have been related directly or indirectly with emotional situations. Emotional havocs. Now, you look at it with the hormonal discharges. That takes place when a person is aggravated, irritated, and agitated. The kind of hormonal discharges, when you're aggravated, irritated, frustrated, and angry, these are the things that flows in the body. And it causes sicknesses in the body of man. It causes diseases in the body of man. Forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, growing up as a young man, I'm a very emotional boy. I get hurt easily in my natural proclivity. And becoming a pastor, I had to wise up. Do you hear what I said? I had to wise up. I had to grow and mature. I get so hurt, and I can be in my bed for hours crying to myself in pain. Because I go in and all out. So when I get hurt, I hurt in and all out. One day God spoke to me, how about you too? You can also offend somebody. You can also step on the toe. So it's only pride that is unforgiving. It's only pride that is unforgiving. And gradually I had to man up. I had to learn to let go. I had to learn to ignore. You know, if you want to mature as a believer, sometimes you have to overlook people's errors. So everything you question people, everything you ask people, everything you are troubled, sometimes ignore it. Let go of it. Let pass it. Behave like a cat. You have not seen it. Praise the Lord. Let it slip away. If you want to focus on what people say all the time, you never mature as a child of God. If you want to ponder over the pains people cause you, and you want to isolate every little pain people bring to you, you will never mature as a believer. You have to learn to let go. That's maturity. You have to learn to overlook things. After 2-3 years, you tell them, I knew what you did, but I forgave you. I'm fully aware of everything you said, of everything you did to me, of whatever you did behind my back. But I decided to forgive you. Because in hurting them, you are hurting yourself. Child of God, you can be sick by unforgiveness. You can cut short your own life. So you can be free of BP issues, hypertension, if you just let go. And sometimes all you got to do is, I leave it to God. Look at someone, I leave it to God. And lastly, unforgiveness and bitterness defile the spirit of a believer. It defiles the spirit of a believer. The person who is unforgiving and bitter is moving about every day with a spirit that is defiled. Every day. Do you know the implication of that at all? Everybody he comes in contact with will be willing to get his poison also gets defiled. If you are unforgiving, anyone you come in contact with is also contaminated. It's a poison. It's translated from one man to another. So you can see unforgiving families, the kids grow up in the same unforgiveness. Vile, volatile, chaotic. Because the climatic condition, the spiritual weather, the spiritual climate of the house is rooted in unforgiveness. Somebody you never hated before, somebody can say a word about him or her to initiate you into hating that person. Once I had an experience at the airport. Two people were talking about me. I was standing by the check-in counter. They were talking about Prophet Bernard Taylor, and they didn't know the Prophet Bernard Taylor was the one talking, standing there. Oh yes, I remember. I was going to Kenya to and do a transit to Swaziland to go and preach for my daughter, Prophetess Intik, who was pastoring our church in Swaziland. Two people were talking about Prophet Bernard Taylor. I was standing right there and I heard my name and they didn't even know me. So they had not even gone on the social media to see my picture. They were just talking based on foolishness they have heard. So you can be initiated to hate somebody you have never met before. And that defiles your spirit. Don't allow anybody to recruit you to hate somebody who has never wronged you. 200 young men followed Absalom and they died Absalom's death. 200 young men. When Absalom rebelled against his father and chased David from the throne, 200 young men followed Absalom blindly, forgetting what David had done for Judah. People are forgetful. It doesn't matter the good you do. Understand that people will forget all your good, and one wrong, they will use it against you. Human beings are so forgetful that God did signs in Egypt to bring them out of Egypt. But when they came out, they convinced the same prophet that God made to Moses to make a new God for them. With all the signs they saw, with all the deliverances, God gave them manna. God made them walk through the Red Sea. They saw the rod of Moses turned to a snake. They are permanently forgetful. We human beings, we are genetically ungrateful. We don't remember. we lack remembrance. It doesn't matter how good we have been. If I do something wrong, we use it against us as our nature. We are unforgiving and we are not Christians. Praise the living God. May God help us. Touch your heart, say, Father, give me the spirit of forgiveness. Don't inherit someone's hate. Because he hates the person, he wants you to initiate, to be initiated into it. There are many people like that. So the enemy uses the worms of bitterness and unforgiveness to spread the cancer of defilement. There are many people angry with people who have never offended them. Only because somebody said something bad about that person. And the person who is coming to tell you something about the other person, the only thing he came to do is to impact defilement into your spirit and damnation to your soul. And that is taking you to hell without somebody offending you. You went to hell because you inherited someone's pain. Many be defiled. The devil is wicked. If he cannot catch you in fornication, he cannot catch you in drinking alcohol, he cannot catch you in murder, this is the easiest trap. That the devil will catch even the smallest insignificant sins. This is where the devil will catch the virgin. One who has never drunk alcohol before. He will catch the one who has been going to church from his youth. With the poison of defilement and bitterness and unforgiveness. Lastly, unforgiveness and bitterness brings damnation in eternity. Are you being blessed tonight?
Yes.
Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and bitterness brings damnation in eternity. Revelation 21:27. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that is defiled. So when you are defiled by the root, when you are defiled by the root of unforgiveness and bitterness, you go to hell. Nobody enters into heaven with defilement, including the defilement of bitterness. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. So bitterness, unforgiveness, hate is equal to murder in the sight of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abided in death. Look at verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You never took a knife to cut someone's head. By your words was enough knife to cut off someone's destiny. Let's forgive. That's when we can continue to live as family. Let's learn to practice the Bible. Let's live by the word of God. If you have no forgiveness, you are not prepared for marriage. Do you know what spouses handle every day? There's no perfect couple anywhere. We are all work in progress. Today may be my turn, tomorrow will be your turn. Today you may see my flaws, tomorrow may be yours. So if I forgive you, God will show me mercy as well. And the fact that your time has not come does not mean that God will not expose you one day. Look at Job. He was an upright man. His friends told him he was a sinner. They cursed him. The same man that God could not find any sin in him. In Job chapter 1 verse 1. People said he was afflicted because of his sin. The friends of Job had nothing to offer except to say that he was a sinner. Have you ever been cursed for what you know nothing about? For what you knew little about? People exaggerate on errors. People magnify errors. When you are dirty, they call you a dirty person. But it was just a soil. So where people say, this man deserved to suffer. Something happened to you and people begin to jubilate. In Job 34 verse 7 to 8, look at Job. Is that true, Job? Is that true of Job? Look at Job. Job 34 verse 7 to 8. Look at Job. What man is like Job? Who drinketh up scoring like water? Is this Job? Job chapter 1, there is a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. He was God-fearing. He eschewed evil. He was perfect and upright. Which goeth in the company with the worker of iniquity. And walketh with wicked man. This is a contradiction. When Job was given, he was a good man. When Job was afflicted, they called him a worker of iniquity. When Job was rescuing families, he was a good man. But when Job had affliction, they called him a worker of wicked men, a worker of iniquity. When Job emptied his account, oh, he was a great man. When Job stayed up all night to pray, when Job was running around for families and making sure everybody was okay, they called him the best man. But when Job had issues, when he had errors, when he had flaws, when his humanity set in, now they call Job a worker of iniquity. This is what is happening in our generation. You will never be good enough for any man. You will never be good enough. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how many people God has used me to help in our church in Africa? People have helped. People have stood for. People, I have gone past my family needs to be there for them. They walked out from the church with no goodbyes. People that we have fed will eat my wife's food and will go and talk rubbish. How can I clothe you? How can I shelter you? How can I feed you? Then you say, I'm not from God. So I'm from where? I'm from your mother or your father? The same thing they said about Job. Look at Job chapter 1 verse 1. Am I teaching tonight? Yes. The man who feared God. The man who was pious. Job feared so much of God that even when his children would go and feast, he would go and make sacrifice. He was a giver as a lifestyle. People will forget all your spiritual investment, your physical investment, your time, which is the greatest blessing a man can give you. People will forget all the good you have ever done. And when you are in your errors, they will magnify it. They will lie on you. They will exaggerate on you. They will curse you. They want to kill you. Forgetting that you have fetched water for them before. That's human beings. That's Christians. And we need to repent. This man, now in Job 34 verse 7 and 8. Look at a contradistinction here. A worker of iniquity. They say he walked with wicked men. It's a lesson to all of us. And Job replies in Job 13 verse 4. Job 13 verse 4. Are you being blessed? I'll be wrapping up soon. In Job 13 verse 4. Look at Job. But you are forgers of lies. You are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. You came not to console me, but you came with lies. Job said, I know what I did wrong. He says, I know my shortcomings. He says, I know where I fell. But you have forged more lies on my predicament. I thought you were my friends. When Cain killed his brother Abel, God didn't kill Cain. He covered him. And God put a mark of exemption on him. And God said, nobody can touch Cain. Who are you to judge another? Since when did we become gods? Do you know what is ahead of you? Do you know what the future holds? Do you know 2 years, 3 years to come? The kind of situation you can find yourself in? Nobody woke up and thought he would go to prison. Nobody woke up and thought he was going to die prematurely. Good Friday, one of our fathers died in Ghana. He went to bed, he died. Good Friday. Good Friday, one of my senior brothers lost the mom and the dad. Good Friday. They came to Ghana in February. The mom and the dad died in April. God said, you have hidden this from me. Sometimes God will hide things from you. Child of God, never raise your shoulders because nobody knows tomorrow. Keep your shoulders down and admit that it is the grace of God that makes us who we are. Paul said, I am who I am. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. By the grace of God. The grace of God. I am who I am. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He said, this grace that was given to me. God gave me help. He said, Act 26, 22. Check it for me. He said, God gave me help. That helped me to do what I did. To be able to speak to the Gentiles. It is God who laid help on me. It is God. So, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Go to Act 26, 22 or 22, 26. He says that it is by the help of God. It is by the help of God I was able to be a witness. So anytime we wake up, it's because God showed us mercy. My God, am I talking to somebody here? Anytime we stood on our feet, it's because God showed us mercy. Anything you owe, anything you have, is by the grace of God. Go to Act 26, 22. Quickly for me. Having therefore obtained help of God. Paul said, whatever I did. My God, I feel like preaching here. I obtained help from God. You see, you are helpless without God. So don't become a judge over your neighbor. Learn to forgive. It's painful, it's hurtful, it's hard, but let go. Because it is by God's help. If we can continue every day to become who we are, it's because God helped us. Psalm 89 verse 19, he said, I have laid help on the one who is mighty. I have laid help. Psalm 89 verse 19, I have laid help on the one who is mighty. Until God lays help on you, we are nobody. Until God lays help on you, we are helpless. Psalm 89 verse 19, then thou speak in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon the one that is mighty. And I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Clap your hands unto Jesus. So Job is responding, Job 16, 14. He said, miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. Job 16, 14. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He ran out upon me like a giant. And look at the verse 4, 16 verse 4, please. Is that Genesis? Is that Genesis? Stephen? Yes. He said, what? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. Go to the King James. I want you to see something. He said, miserable, miserable comfort. I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my own head. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 5. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. You are meant to be my friends, he says. And healing to you are meant to be healing to me. But you came to add to my pain. You came. Comforters who came to increase misery. Helpers who are hurters. Comforters who are tormentors. But God said, forgive your friends. Job 42, verse 10. Restoration will never come until you forgive your friends. Elevation will never come. Can I talk to somebody? As I close, he said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. when he prayed for his friends, when he let go, then God gave Job twice. You are not entitled for restoration until you walk in forgiveness. When Job prayed for his friends, what you hate, you become. What you forgive, you are released from. Let me tell you, when we started ministry in 1997-98, throughout the early 2000s, young preachers, young men of God who were criticizing fathers, criticizing, lambasting them, self-righteousness. Child of God, would you believe today they are doing worse? Yes, because what you hate, you become. What you forgive, you are released from. They are doing more than the sins of their fathers. Be careful. Be careful. Four things in the power of forgiveness. I'll mention it and we close. Four things in the power of forgiveness. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Four things in the power of forgiveness. Number one, the release of the offender. The release of the offender is the release of the offended. Do you hear me? The release of the offender is the release of the what? Offended. When you release your offenders, your captor must release you. It is not possible for the devil to hold Job any longer when Job decided to forgive his friends. As long as you hold them, the enemy holds you. But when you release them, the devil releases you. Number two, the release of the offender is the restoration of the offended. The release of the offender is the restoration of the offended. So release is key to restoration. Forgiveness is key to restoration. Unforgiveness is key to demotion. Job 42 verse 10, God turned the captivity of Job and gave him twice. He released those who hurt him. And he got restored. Double restoration is the function of quality forgiveness. Quality forgiveness. Quality forgiveness. I've been on this road for years. You see what I do? Jumping from place to place. I started when I was a young boy. I've made friends, I've made enemies. People are trying to help stab me in the back. I've lost friendships. I've lost relationships. I've learned through the hardship. I've learned through life. Maturity comes by life experience. You can't go about holding people in your heart. It's not worth it. When you release them, God releases you. Number three, the presence, the power, and the working of the Almighty are activated by the action of forgiveness. The presence, the power, and the working of the Almighty are all activated by the action of forgiveness. God stepped into action the moment Job forgave. Unforgiveness erects a wall around you, a barricade where God can never penetrate. The power and the anointing of God cannot access an unforgiving soul. Don't call me again. Don't call me again. If you call me again, hey, you put someone on block, you delete someone from your Facebook, God will delete you from your life. Am I talking to someone? You put me on block, God put you on block. How am I teaching somebody here? You delete me from your heart, God deletes you from his heart. Who are we to be juries? Do you remember one thing, that there's nothing new under the sun? That everything we see in our world has happened in the Bible before? Yeah. And what was the approach of God? God has always been merciful. Yeah. For I will show myself mercy to the merciful. I will show myself mercy to the merciful. And lastly, I close. The power of prayer is amplified by the action of forgiveness. Prayer is impactful when you forgive. Mark 11:25. Prayer is powerful through the potency of forgiveness. Watch this. But prayer is formless, functionless, powerless when devoid of forgiveness. And lastly, eternity is guaranteed by the action of forgiveness. Eternity is guaranteed by the action of forgiveness. It is not worth it to serve God all your life. Now watch me. It's not worth it to come to church all your life and be at the same place with somebody who never came to church all his life because of bitterness. Prophet, you heard what I said? It's not worth it. What do? Release the offender. Stephanie, what do? Release the offender. What do? Ask for grace to forgive. Release the offender. Ask for grace to forgive. You ask for the baptism. Love is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. Romans 5 verse 5. And the love of God shed abroad in our heart. So is by the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 1 7. He said, I've not given unto you the spirit of fear, but of love, of sound mind. So you ask for the baptism. Galatians 5 22. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So you ask for the help of God. Paul said in Acts 26 verse 22, I obtain help. I obtain help. So you ask for God's grace. You ask for God's grace. Praise the living God. Peter said to Jesus, I will die for you. I'll go to prison with you. But he betrayed Jesus three times. But when the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a message and over 3,000 were won when the Spirit came. So you ask God for help, the grace to forgive. You go to church, you go to your house, you go to your bed, and you say, Father, help me to release this pain. It's painful, it's hurtful, it's unfathomable. I didn't deserve how I was treated. But ask God to help you. Ask for grace. And now lastly, pray for those who hurt you like Job did. Pray for those who hurt you like Job did. God bless you.